I'm Chris Nessie, host of Behind the Mic, Voices of the EPN, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Ninth Grade Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Dutchko. Ninth grade can be challenging. Let's experience it together. And we're coming back to you with another episode this week here. We've been busy at the Ninth Grade Experience Podcast, catching up with students, catching up with faculty, and just kind of seeing what's going on around the school and trying to give you some more content to kind of listen to here. So we're excited to be bringing you this episode, kind of like a preview episode for one of my favorite episodes of the year, which we'll talk about in a second here. So it's been an interesting couple weeks here at Emmaus High School. The tragedy here with a student that passed away due to an accident and some students that are still, you know, coming through from that as well. We appreciate everyone that's been reaching out or showing support on the Ninth Grade Experience TikTok page. We posted a small video of the memorial that's down at the site of the accident, and we've had over 100 comments of students just reaching out and, you know, sharing some memories of Edwin and some other things. So it's been really nice to see the community come together over that in the last couple weeks. You know, I shared with our students, Edwin was a freshman in one of my classes 2 years ago. I remember like where he sat, kind of how he was as a student. So, you know, it's just an example of how quickly things can change and how precious life is. So, you know, we had a rough go at it the last week here. Students were kind of all over the place. Having that outlet, ability to kind of talk, we've had lots of counseling services here at the school. So they've been really top notch about, you know, meeting kids where they need to be met with all the different things. So it was not an easy week here at Emmaus in the last little bit here, but you know, just being able to share stories about Edwin and kind of those kinds of things, even if you didn't know him personally, you know, lots of people in the building did. So being able to share those things and especially seeing the outpouring of support online was really big. So, you know, that was kind of not the greatest way to kind of, you know, come into the holiday season here. But of course, you know, our community here at Emmaus High School kind of rallied, and, you know, hopefully we're going to help everyone to get through these tough times here. So I just wanted to share that up front, you know, things that have been going on locally here. We featured an amazing episode last week about our 99-year-old Emmaus resident, Dora Schaefer. That's been getting some good traction. So thanks for everyone that's been listening to that. She's sharing some great moments about high school back in 1938 and 39. And, you know, it's been a really interesting episode to be able to share with everybody. So remember, you can get all of our previous content at ninthgradeexperience.com, and you can check it out there. Check us out on the socials, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, all those different things at Ninth Grade Experience as well. So we have a two-part episode today. We talked to a student and we talked to an adult. We have Miss Rosemary Lamparella coming back on to join us. She was on last year at the end of the year with a full episode kind of leading us into the summer. She's going to be a guest that we're going to try to bring on maybe once a month, kind of focusing on different topics. This month, we're talking about gratitude, and this is a great entrance to our next episode where we're going to the attitude of gratitude that I record every year around Thanksgiving time when we get to talk to students and staff in our building and ask them what they're thankful for. So if you're listening to this and you see me roaming around the school next week, please give us a shout out. We'll focus them, you know, we'll feature them on TikTok as well too. So it's a great episode. It's one of my favorite ones to record all year. We get to hear all the good things that are going on here at Emmaus High School as well. So Miss Lamparella is going to talk to us about the difference between gratitude and thankfulness. It's actually a really interesting conversation as we go into the holiday season here. We're going to bring her back on in December too, I think, to talk about how to deal with the holidays and that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, good topics to kind of go into. And then we have a student, Chris Emmer, who didn't want to appear on camera, but she wanted to do audio, so there's going to be an audiogram in that portion of the episode. But she shares an interesting story. She has been with the Principal Advisory Board for the last two times that they've met. So I wanted to reach out to those students and talk about advocacy and what it means to kind of go to those meetings and to speak up about what's going on at your school as a freshman. So Chris shares some interesting stories and a transition from cyber school to back in brick and mortar school as well too. So lots of good tips and strategies in that one as well. So we get to hear a little bit from students and a little bit from staff in this episode, leading to our attitude of gratitude here at the end of November. So again, thank you for joining us on today's episode. We're going to start off featuring Ms. Lamparella talking to us about gratitude and getting through the month of November. And then you'll hear from Chris at the end of the episode. So thanks a lot for joining us. Ms. Lamparella, who is our STEP coordinator here at the high school. And she asked, actually last year she had a full episode, so you can go into the archives and check that out. And last year we talked about having her come on the podcast as often as she would like, but I think I've finally figured out to get her once a month. And we're going to talk about some current topics that relate to student mental health and other things that, you know, can kind of improve yourself in addition to, you know, the work in the classroom as well too. So thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Yeah, and I'm so glad to be here.
And we're looking for a catchy name for the little segment here. So if you have Ms. Lamparella and you want to offer her a suggestion, or you're listening to this and you want to kind of, you know, come up with a suggestion, you can let us know, comment on the page, or you can comment on any of the social media videos for our little segment here. But the next episode that we're going to have on the podcast is about, it's actually my favorite episode that I do every year, and it's called The Attitude of Gratitude. We do it right around the week of Thanksgiving. I go around, I try to talk to as many people here at the high school and ask them what they're thankful for here at Emmaus High School, whether it's something school specific or just in their lives in general. And we usually get about like 50 to 60 kids. But when I brought this up to you, you told me that there is a difference between gratitude and thankfulness. And that's what we're going to focus on here for our little mini portion of this episode here, to kind of, you know, flesh out what those terms mean, how you can apply it, and maybe give yourself a little plug for the gratitude club that you run here at the school as well, too.
Sure.
So the big question is, what is the difference between gratitude and thankfulness?
Okay, so, simply stating it, I guess, gratitude is more of like an attitude, and thankfulness is more of a response. So when we think about gratitude, we're thinking about sort of like a state of mind. So nothing special has to happen for you to express gratitude, whereas if you're thankful for something, it's generally in response to an event. So gratitude focuses more on the present, while thankfulness is just like the present but then fleeting. So an example of that might be, like, I'm grateful or have gratitude for a family that supports me when I'm going through difficult times. Or you could be thankful, like, my car broke down and I'm really thankful that my dad was able to take me to work today. So that's kind of the difference between the two. So one is more like a state of mind and one is more like a response. And they're both kind, but one actually has health benefits. And they both do, but gratitude definitely has more health benefits and contributes more to resiliency.
So did we name the episode of the podcast? I just named it because it rhymed and I thought it kind of fit together, The Attitude of Gratitude. But when we name that podcast and we go around and ask the students, are they expressing gratitude or are they expressing thankfulness, or is it kind of a mixture of the two things?
Probably a mixture of the two things. So, generally, like I said, thankfulness is more something that is specific. So I'm thankful that my teacher was able to help me with this assignment. I'm grateful that I have an awesome teacher who really supports me in class and I feel like I can go to. So that's nothing specific that you can point to, but there's a whole, it's like a feeling towards that teacher, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so if we're getting students to kind of move on the continuum, is it more of like a continuum from like thankfulness to gratitude? So like how do we get students, you know, at this time of the year when we're going into Thanksgiving and then our, you know, the winter holiday seasons, how do we get students to kind of move away from like that, move from that idea of thankfulness into like actual gratitude?
Well, I think gratitude requires more reflection, right? So thankfulness is kind of in the moment. So if you are feeling thankful, you can move towards gratitude. So I'm thankful to be on this podcast that you invited me, but I'm really grateful for the opportunity that it's going to allow other students to view this and how that may impact the lives of other people.
So you said that having gratitude or being grateful for things can improve different aspects of your life. It kind of is a little bit more than like thankful to me, like in your kind of in our talk here, it seems like thankfulness is like a one-time kind of thing, whereas mm-hmm. gratitude is kind of like developing a longer sense of like kind of seeing where you are in the world and then kind of figuring out like the things that has allowed you to kind of be successful and, you know, those kinds of things. So when we're looking at, like you said, there are like benefits of that. What are some of the benefits or personal benefits of being grateful for things as opposed to just being thankful?
Sure. So the practice of gratitude, and I would say that that's a good way to put it. So it's sort of like a practice, like other things that you might do for your overall health. Overall, it can improve your health. You can have better sleep. It improves psychological health. What I found interesting in some of the research is that it actually rewires your brain because of the attitude that you have and increases, I know this is a big word, neurotransmitters, but you might have heard of dopamine and serotonin. Those are two neurotransmitters, and they're both one is responsible for like pleasure and rewards, and the other one is responsible for your mood and your sleep. So if you practice gratitude as a regular thing, it can over time have those kinds of improvements for you. So studies have shown increased happiness. There's even been some studies done just with adolescents and teens, which I thought was really interesting. So they found that if students practiced gratitude or expressed gratitude in a variety of ways, which we can talk about that too, they are more likely to be more interested and satisfied with their school lives, more helpful, more socially engaged, more interested in school. They perform better academically. They're happier overall with their school experience. So just a whole host of benefits and improved pro-social behaviors, because when you're expressing gratitude, you have that sort of sense about you, whether you express it verbally or through your body language.
And we talked last year in our episode too about just how a lot of these things, it's not just like one thing that mm-hmm. benefits. When you kind of take a step back and you figure out what you're grateful for, you know, all these different benefits here, and we see like, you know, what you mentioned, you know, things like more satisfied with school life, mm-hmm. being kind, more helpful, socially integrated, those kinds of things. I think it's kind of interesting that like a lot of times that we try to look for these like hidden tricks to kind of do this. But when you do things that are pretty simple,
right,
that it allows students to kind of get really beneficial like experiences from that as well too.
Right. It's sort of an awareness. I actually found this quote, which I've heard before, which I think really sums up gratitude. It's by Albert Einstein, and he said, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle." And so I think that kind of does sum up a little bit what gratitude is like, sort of expressing thankfulness for the things that gratitude for the things that come your way, even though you might not see them as beneficial at the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you kind of hear that quote and it's like, you know, our high school kids kind of, I feel like they live on those like two extremes too. It's like one thing is, you know, nothing is a miracle. Like, oh, that was supposed to happen. But then there's the opposite end where things happen and they're like, oh my gosh, that was so awesome. And I never expected something like that to happen. So, you know, right. I think our students are kind of living those kind of extremes all the time. So you talked about like an improved sense of belonging in school, maybe right. If you're more gratitude, like how does that, like, how do you actually like do that? So like, if I'm grateful for something that happened in the school, like what is that then, how does that then translate to like improving my sense of belonging or something like those?
Sure. So if you're practicing gratitude, so there's a lot of different ways you can practice it. Writing things down. So if you have a gratitude journal or three things that you're grateful for a day, there's plenty of books out there that will guide you towards that. You could just use your own simple thing. Writing gratitude letters towards other people, volunteering, meditating with gratitude in mind. Those practices, and there's many, many others, allow you to reflect upon the things that are good in your life. And then in turn, because you have that sort of at the front of your mind, it's easier then to feel a sense of belonging. I'm going to feel more of a sense of belonging to my school if one of the things that I wrote down is, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have all these clubs at school. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I feel more connected to my school. I already feel connected through the club, but now I'm reflecting upon that. It's more of a reflection piece.
So, as you're saying that, I kind of envision the student that kind of sits there and they're grumpy about everything and they're kind of like have the wall up and, you sit and you ask them to reflect on what they're grateful for and they're like, I'm not grateful for anything. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe legitimately they do have like really serious challenges that they're trying to meet.
Right.
So for a student like that, that maybe doesn't identify things in their life to be grateful for, how can you, like, is there anything mm-hmm. that you can tell those students or like help out in that way to maybe see at least the good in something?
Yeah, it's really tough. There's actually been some studies about what they call post-traumatic growth, which is something that happens when someone experiences a traumatic event. And then over time, they're able to reflect back on that experience and say, I'm not the same as I was before, but I have grown in this way. And for that, I'm grateful. Not that we want any negative experience to ever happen to somebody, but like what comes out of that experience? I'll try and give a small example. So you and your friend have an argument and you've decided you're going to part ways. So what you have learned from that experience then is that maybe you can better identify in the future what is a really good friend and what is not. Maybe you can better identify problem-solving skills. Maybe that helped you to seek out problem-solving skills. Maybe you decided you were going to talk to your counselor about it who you've never met before. All of those things. So while there is a sorrow and a sadness for the loss of the friendship, there's also a gratitude from the growth that happens from the experience.
Yeah, learning all the different skills that kind of you need to learn when you're going through anything that might be a little bit challenging to be able to be grateful that there are people that you could go to the counselor, go to a trusted friend, like you can have the strategies that you would think about. So, since we're keeping these segments short and we might have them monthly, we're just kind of trying to finish up here and so you gave students some good advice, like, maybe a journal, writing letters.
Mm-hmm.
So like as you're going into like the holiday season here with like Thanksgiving and everything else, like how can you, what advice would you have for students to like, it's going to get really hectic with school, with maybe clubs, activities, and home life and all the other stuff. Like, what advice would you give to students to be able to kind of take some time during the next couple months to reflect on gratitude, to reflect on things you're grateful for, and to show people that gratitude?
I think even if you could do that in one small way, it's really tough to try and say, like, sit down and write a letter of gratitude to every person that you know, but maybe there is one person that stands out to you that within the last few months or within the last year was really someone who you felt grateful for because they helped you through something that you were working on, or just in general, they're a great support for you. So writing a short letter and sending that off could be something that they could try. I mean, you could also, do volunteer work. Volunteering is linked to gratitude, because when you're doing volunteering and or charity work, you're hopefully reflecting upon your own life and the benefits that you might have that maybe other people don't.
So I think those are some great strategies. I know during the month of November here at the high school, we're going to be doing some things as well too. Mm-hmm. So by the time this is aired, maybe we've already done those things or we're getting ready to do those things. But I think it's an important thing to be able to do. And we're looking forward to sharing that episode in our next episode about gratitude, because I like to hear what people are thankful for here at Emmaus and what they've kind of appreciate about what we do here. And we appreciate Ms. Lamparella for coming to join us here on our first installment this year of our monthly mindfulness. I don't know, but maybe we'll come up with a better name than that. And if you have any suggestions or anything for topics going forward, you can, Ms. Lamparella's right there on the first floor in the step room. You can always reach in and talk to her. You can reach out to us, or I guess we'll just have to keep coming up with topics as we kind of do these little mini parts of episodes here. So Ms. Lamparella, thanks a lot for joining us, and hopefully everyone can find something to be grateful for here as we move into the holiday season.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're kicking it a little old school on this part of the episode. We're just going to do an audio only. So if you see an audiogram or you see other pictures or swirly things on the screen, just know that it's for this part of the interview, and we'll be back to a video at other points there throughout here. So we're here with ninth grader Chris, who wants to talk to us about her ninth grade experience, kind of what's been going on. Her name came to my attention because she was on the principal advisory board meeting for the first 2 months. So I reached out to all the kids that were on the advisory board to see if they wanted to talk. And she has been somebody who has been consistently wanting to come on. I've kind of not maybe been the best at scheduling with her, but she's here today, so we're happy to have her. So Chris, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hello. Hi, no problem.
So the first question we ask every guest, and we're here now at the end of the first marking period, so we've made it through 9 weeks of freshman year, is what has your freshman experience or ninth grade experience been like so far?
Well, 9 weeks of torture because it's school, but so I guess it's been fairly normal, I guess. I heard that there was a fight in the hallway like a few days ago. I wasn't there to see it. I'm a little disappointed about that, but it's been fairly normal, just school, I guess.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And then, you know, we've done a lot at the school to kind of improve on the culture and the climate. As you know, somebody that has been here, like, I haven't heard as much of that kind of stuff this year. So
I was a little worried to come here at first when my mom said I was coming here, because my friend told me that they knew people that came to this school and hated it. Hated the experience.
Well, hopefully that you're not having the same experience, and we're only a couple months in.
No, so just a usual school hate.
And that's okay. So it is interesting you did bring up coming to school here. So in the previous couple of years, you were not in a, you know, traditional school. You were doing an online school. So what has the transition been like for you to come back into the, you know, air quotes, regular school environment?
Interesting, I guess. Kind of like different. I preferred online school because, you know, I got to do all my classes and everything from my bed, although I did not get sick days off, unless I was feeling really bad.
Yeah.
But it's been something. It took a moment, a little bit, to adjust, but I guess I kind of got it now, I guess.
What's been the biggest adjustment so far? Because we do have a lot of students that do online school and do come back to school, whether it's, you know, at ninth grade or different grade levels throughout, you know, they do a transition back and forth. So for you, what was the biggest challenge in transitioning back to a traditional school format?
I guess, well, one, not getting lost. Two, the crowded hallways. And three, the not exactly the kind of suspicious school food, some of them.
So you kind of, you know, all the traditional, things about high school that people, when they come in, are kind of intimidated by, it seems like, you know, kind of worried you too, which I guess it would, right? If you, you know, you said you were at home doing stuff in your bedroom, that where now you have to come here, and obviously all the classes are not in the same room anymore.
Yep.
And you can't wear your pajamas around. I guess you could, but maybe,
actually,
maybe.
Yeah, I do. I already do that because everyone's just too dead inside to even notice or care. So
you have, you know, that happening there. And, you know, so you've now kind of adjusted. You've had that time to kind of come back and adjust to being in traditional school. And it kind of struck me, you know, when I opened up, I talked about like this principal advisory board that we have here. And Ms. Gariola sends out an email and look for students. And we've had one in September and we had one in October. And you've attended both of the meetings. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting that you would, you know, as somebody coming back to a school building, were interested in doing that right away. So what was it about that group that led you to want to volunteer and be a part of that so early on in your high school career?
Well, main thing, there was pizza.
That's always a selling point.
Yep, that was the main thing. I just saw that there was pizza and I was like, sign me up. And I, once I got there, I actually had some things that I wanted to say, you know, about the school that they could improve on. And then on the second meeting, I wrote a list of things I wanted to be fixed.
Oh, okay. So when you went the first time, You know, it's there. So the principal's advisory board meets once a month, and you have students at all different levels, 9 through 12. So you went in. What was it like as somebody, a freshman, going into that group and maybe not knowing anybody?
It was a little intimidating, especially with how everything was set up. Like, there were, like, chairs on, like, each level. Like, there was a little, like, it would look kind of like a little movie theater.
Yep.
It was
so
like
that's
a little movie theater room, I think.
Yep. So that's in the multimedia room of the school. If you've never been in it or you're not from Emmaus High School, we have a room in our school that is set up sort of like a stadium seating where it's, like, tiered seats. So for that meeting, they do it in that room so that everyone can kind of see what's going on. So you go into the multimedia room with the tiered seating. It does look like a movie theater. You're kind of right there.
Yeah.
And so what was that? You know, you said it was kind of intimidating to go into there the first time.
Yeah, because like the door was like right below, like on the lowest part of the room, you know, like on the like base level.
Yep.
So like when I walked in, everyone was able to like look down on me. So it was a little scary. But then the principal just said, all right, go get some pizza and then take a seat. And I was like, okay. And then like I was also a little nervous about like going to get more pizza because I was like, am I supposed to only have one slice? Am I allowed to have more? Then I saw other people doing it and I was like, you know what? Oh, well, I'm getting food.
All of the normal anxiety for any person in a group, you know, where there's food, like, you know, do I take too much? Not enough? What all this other stuff? So, you know, it's interesting. I think that applies to lots of different places with a lot of different groups. So you're not alone there. So you said you went into that meeting and you felt comfortable right away. And knowing you for the brief couple of moments that I have, you know, you seem pretty outspoken, seem like you kind of have some strong ideas about stuff. So what was that when you went into that first meeting? What were you kind of thinking or what did you suggest or talk about from your perspective as somebody at that point that had just started at the high school?
Well, one, I don't remember very much. I don't remember exactly what I said. I just remember that there were topics that were brought up and I was like, oh, wait, there's a problem with that. And then raised my hand and said something. And yeah, that's just how I did it. But I was mostly thinking about the pizza for most of it.
So you get the pizza one out of the way. So we'll assume the first meeting was about the pizza. But you said the second meeting you went back and you actually had a list of things that you had kind of prepared. So what were some of the things, if you remember, what did you put on your list? Uh-oh, and she's going to the back to get the list out, it looks like.
I think I might have it in there, but I think I still remember.
So after some extensive searching, you cannot find the list, but you seem to remember what was on it. So what are some things that were on the list that you may remember?
One thing I definitely remember is that I was saying how there are, not enough. There's, a lot of the water fountains are broken.
Okay.
A lot of them.
And that's, you know, stuff like that, when you hear that, like it's things that, you know, simple things that make everyday life in a school of 3,000 people a little bit better. It may not seem like a water fountain being broken is the biggest deal. But hey, if you're trying to get water and you can only get it in this certain spot because you're going from class to class running around the building, that can be something. Was there anything else that you remember on your list that you remember?
Let's see. There was also, I think I'm one of the students that has a 504 plan. And with that 504 plan, I'm able to leave class 1 to 2 minutes early so I can avoid the crowded hallways and get to my class before that.
Yep.
But I can't remember which two classes, but one of my classes is on one side of the school and another one of my classes is on the very opposite side of the school. So it takes me a little bit longer and I never make it there before the bell rings.
Yeah. And that's something that's.
And one of the things was just so what I put on the list was give those students an extra minute or two to get it to leave early.
Yeah, and that's, another thing that's a very real stressor for kids, trying to get from one spot to the next in our building. You know, I think I looked at it one time. It's almost a quarter mile away from, one end to the one end. So there's a little bit of walking in when you're navigating a large amount of people. It does get a little bit challenging. But these are things that kind of are brought up, on this principal advisory board. So it's definitely a unique opportunity if you're here at Emmaus High School or another school that has something like that to volunteer. So you had a chance to kind of give a say into that. So is this something that you think that you will continue attending for each month now that you've kind of, you're kind of seeing some of the issues, you're kind of.
Maybe not every month, but I might attend them more.
And that's great. And it's, you know, we're always telling kids to get involved with stuff and to be, you know, find the thing that you kind of have an interest in and find a passion in. So that's really good that you kind of found that early. Are you involved in anything else here at the school? Any clubs or activities or anything like that?
I'm part of the GSA club.
Okay.
Which is like a club for anyone part of the LGBTQIA plus community.
Yep.
And I hope to go to the next Spanish club meeting because I missed the first one.
Okay, so you had that. So you've been to a couple of different clubs, and we always talk about joining stuff there, so making the big school small, and I guess especially, too, for somebody that's coming in, you know, from being online, you kind of have that going there as well, too. So what would you say, as we kind of are winding down here, what would you say would be your biggest tip or takeaway for a ninth grade student and how to adjust? And especially within your situation, like somebody that came from not being in a traditional school, maybe not knowing as many people or any people like here at the building, what would you say is like the biggest tip or strategy that you could give to a student that's coming in that has a similar kind of background to yours?
Well, personally, I do know some people at the school when I first came because some of the people that I was in elementary school with is in the school. And personally, I thought that made it scarier.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I'd ever see them again. And I was like, what am I supposed to say to them? Thankfully, most of us just like ignore each other or just not acknowledge each other. So that kind of takes away some of the stress.
Yeah, so that,
although a lot of them are like in the same classes as me, so I'm just like casting them side glances, like they're not going to talk to me, are they?
Yeah, so you're trying to kind of overcome that. And like, so then is there something that you've done or developed positively for yourself in this first marking period that maybe you didn't need to do in your previous schooling that you kind of figured out, like, this is really helpful for me to be successful here at the high school?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I have like made two friends.
So basically, for you, it's a matter of like the social aspects, kind of trying to figure out like how you kind of fit in, making sure that you're comfortable in your surroundings, that kind of stuff, which is a super important part of the adjustment to high school. You know, the grades and the classes are one thing, especially, but, you know, as for somebody that wasn't necessarily in that social setting for a while, like coming back in, I think it would be pretty challenging to do that as well.
It's Chris Emmer 1 on TikTok. And I'm just, it's Chris Emmer on YouTube. I have two channels. One of them is my main, the other is my side account that I have.
And I think it's cool, like, you know, as somebody that does the whole social media thing and tries to be a creator, you know, I like having the ability to spotlight when students are doing creative things as well, too. So we'll post links to those in the show notes. And we're excited to be able to spotlight students that are doing cool stuff. So,
yeah.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us. I know, you know, you were very eager and wanting to get recorded. So congratulations. Yeah. We finally got together and made it happen.
I don't post very much. Much, but like I do try, and I do a lot of art off when I'm not posting, so I do a lot of art. I probably do more art than I do post videos,
so that's cool. And then, you know, be on the lookout for all the stuff that you do. Yeah.
I will post like speed paints and stuff to my channel and TikTok though.
What's a speed paint?
Like just a paint, like I do all my art on Ibis Paint. It's like a free like art app. They recently added an animation feature. So basically, I'll like when you draw something on Ibis Paint, like you have the option to share it with people, and you're also able to like export a time lapse video, which is like it records automatically everything you do on it. Like, so if you draw a line, it will record you drawing that line.
That's cool.
And it'll, like, you can also select how long the time lapse video is. So you can make it 60 seconds, which is probably the most common because people will often, like, extract a 60-second time lapse video and then, like, play story time audio over it to get views. I do that sometimes.
So that's cool. So, yeah. So thanks a lot for joining us, and, you know, check out Chris's stuff on all the socials, and good luck with you to the rest of your school year. And thanks for joining us on today's episode. For all of our previous episodes, go to www.ninthgradeexperience.com.